Amen. So welcome to Palm Sunday, everybody. So the triumphal entry, Jesus coming into the city, Jesus getting ready to lay down his life, Jesus getting ready to experience the negative of what he came for so that you and I could experience the positive of what he came to do. And we see this over in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 48. I need to read all 20 verses because I'm going to bring thoughts out of this today. When he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you are loosing it, thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? In other words, why are you stealing our donkey? Why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Now, other Gospels will tell us that not only did they throw clothes, but that they tore branches off palms and they would wave them at him and also lay them under him so the donkey could walk on that, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who brought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him, and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. This morning, in remembrance of Palm Sunday, we have a gift for each and every one of you as you leave today. And we don't normally do this. I know there are churches that do, and it's not something you shouldn't do. It's just we don't normally do it, because we're not one for big remembrance things, even though they're nice to make crosses out of and things like that. We want you to remember things in your heart. But today, if you need something to remind you of this day and this message, as you leave today, we're going to give you a, I guess that would be a palm frond. Is that what that would be or whatever? It's not technically a leaf because the leaf is a huge branch, you know, made up of many of these. But we're going to give you one of these, okay, so that you can leave with them and you can make crosses if you want or dry them out and do what you want to do. And now, like I said, the people weren't laying these on the ground. They were laying the whole thing. And you've seen palm trees. They're in my pictures on the screen behind me, I know. So you've seen palm trees, those big branches. And what they do is they would use palm trees. Palm trees are very useful. You can make roofs out of this stuff that don't leak if you thatch them right, okay? So they can be used for that. I've seen them make clothing out of this and other hammocks out of stuff like this and things like that. And so they can be used for that. Palm trees can be used for shade. There's nothing like being out on a hot day on an island somewhere. I love being out on an island somewhere and sitting under a palm tree, right? Because it gives nice shade as those fronds are laid out in the leaves. They make great fans, right? You can fan somebody with them. You know, we see the old pictures of the Egyptians, right? The servants, right, on the side, you know, fanning them and taking care of them. Palm trees give us dates. Palm trees give us coconuts. But I never heard of a palm tree teaching us a lesson. And yet today, I'm going to tell you that the Palm Sunday trees very much do teach us a lesson, three lessons today that I see, things that God has brought to my heart. And so I want to talk about these three lessons today in this message. And so they were waved before the King of Kings as he entered the city. They were laid on the ground for his donkey to walk on. As we watch the crowd and what took place, we can learn a lot about these palms and about the people that laid them where they were. The first lesson that I see that we learn from the palm or from Palm Sunday is this. Humans are a different lot. Humans are a different lot. I guess I could say it this way. Human beings are crazy. Have you ever met one? Maybe you are one. I hope you are one. And if you are one or is one, then I'm sure that you have found out that we can be a little fickle sometimes, that we can be a little crazy sometimes. What am I referring to on Palm Sunday? We just don't understand a whole lot about life, do we? Man, we think we got it all together. You know, when I got to be about 16, 17, I began to tell my mom and dad the way life was. And then I had teenagers that got 16 and 78. They decided they were going to tell me the way life was. And now they've got kids that are going to turn 16 and 17. And I just pray that those kids just learn everything that they know about the world and tell my son and his wife how life is going to be. Now, it didn't take us long to figure out that we didn't know that. We graduated from high school. We went to college. Maybe we still thought we had a hand on the earth. But it didn't take us long before we were in jobs and in other places and found out, you know what? I don't have it all figured out. I stand here as a pastor of 30-something years. I don't even remember what the time is anymore. It's been a long time. It doesn't feel like a long time to me, so I'm not saying that. But I stand here as a pastor behind a pulpit that says, listen, I wished I could tell you I had it all together. I wished I could tell you that I had it all figured out. But I find in messages that I'm preparing for each and every Thursday night that God still speaks to me from this word, that God still shows me new things that I have missed, and God still brings them out to you, I pray as well. And I pray that you sit under my teaching, those of you who sit under my teaching say, wow, I didn't see that, because I want you to know when I prepared the message Thursday, I didn't see that. I have preached Palm Sunday messages. I have gleaned the internet for Palm Sunday ideas. Topical themes and holiday themes are very hard because they've all been used over and over and over again. And so sometimes I'll go online. I don't take messages, but I'll go online and see what other pastors have spoken. Maybe get some ideas and say, Lord, I lay this before you. Is this something I should speak? No? Okay. Yes, no. And I was going to do that this year because I was really fumbling for an idea. Or I could go back to some of my old messages. When you've spoken for 20-something years, I could speak messages that you guys have never heard, that you guys would never remember hearing. Okay? I don't do that. But if I ever go to another church, I won't have to study again. No. That's not. I don't want to be like that. I would still study, and I'm not going anywhere, so don't worry about that. But we're a mess. And because of knowing everything, we can make a mess of life, can't we? We've all been there. This crowd really didn't know what they were getting worked up about. And we have seen that in our country this year. We have crowds that are out in the streets, and I'm not going to get all political, and you said, don't worry about that, but I am going to make a point here. It was just like that crowd on Palm Sunday. Let's say 75% of the people that are involved in some of these things that we see happening in our state and our country and our world today, about 75% of those people don't even know why they're there. They just followed the crowd. They just followed the crowd. It was exciting. They didn't know what to do, so they threw the rock. They lit a match. They started hollering. They held up a sign, whatever it was. And this is what these people are doing. They had no idea what they were really doing. It was Jesus. They heard him speak. They liked the things that he spoke. You know what they really loved about him? That when he spoke, he fed them, right? 5,000, 12,000, 20,000 he's feeding. You say, Pastor, I don't see those numbers in the Bible. No, because it didn't count the women and children. Anytime he fed 5,000 and 7,000, those were just the men. You got to remember, they had their wives with them, and they had wives, and they had children, lots of them. And so Jesus fed them. They loved that. They loved how he healed them. Oh, Jesus, heal me. Lay your hands upon me and heal me. They loved how he raised their dead. They loved how he cared for them. And you know what? They wanted more. So wherever Jesus went, the multitudes would follow him. But they didn't really know, or they didn't understand who this Jesus really was. You see, they wanted to be free. Who doesn't want to be free? They wanted to be free. But they didn't recognize that what they needed to be freed from was their sin and their rebelliousness and their separation from God. They did not understand that. Why? Because, and they said this all the time, we are Abraham's children. We have a covenant. We don't need you. And so they go into this, right? They want to be free. But they didn't know what they were bound up by. If you spoke to them, they would say, oh, our big problem and what Jesus is here for, what the Messiah is going to do today is the Messiah is going to free us from the Roman Empire that's over us. But they missed the fact that they had fallen to and been broken by the power of sin. And so they holler and they scream, and they take their coats off and throw it down for Jesus to walk on, and they got leaves before him, and they take the leaves and they span them out on the ground so that the donkey can walk on it, and they pay homage to this king that is going to set them free from what ails them. They don't know what ails them. They want to be free from the Roman Empire. And when Jesus talks about dying, you heard me say this last week, when Jesus talks about dying for what ails them, they do a 180-degree turn on him. What? The Messiah can't die. The Messiah's got to free us from Romans. And now you're telling us you're going to die at the hand of the Romans? Huh, you're not our Messiah. And in 4 days, Hosanna, Hosanna goes to what? Crucify him. Crucify him. Some of the same people, most of the same people, many of the same people that cried Hosanna on Palm Sunday will cry crucify him on Thursday night. The human heart tends to get all worked up over things about taking the time to, without taking the time to process what's going on. Ever been there? Some of my biggest mistakes in life have been not taking time to process what's been being told to me, have been not been taking time to process what I've heard, and reacting to something and getting involved in something that I should have held off for rather than investing everything into it and not learning the system or learning what was really happening. So we got to be careful about that. We saw this last year with the burning and the destruction of our cities. We see this in our own situations. When we fall in line with the next best thing, something comes down the road, what do? We fall in line with it. Oh, Pastor, you got to hear this teaching. Oh, wow, this is the new gospel. There is no new gospel. We're going to get to that in a minute. Man, you got to hear what this man says about this. And I've never seen it this way. Now, I know that God speaks through his word. I get that. And there's a lot of truth, and there are great people speaking truth, and it does affect us in different ways. But there's also a bunch of lies out there, church. There's also a bunch of made-up stuff out there that if we're not careful, we can get caught up in because it's the next big fad coming down the spiritual highway, or it's the next big thing happening in our community. And so people are all over the place, aren't we? Come on, we've all been there. You got to hear this. You got to get this. I got to buy that piece of clothing. I got to buy that hat. I got to have this type of motorcycle. I got to have this type of car. And so we all get caught up in this stuff somehow. We see this, we hear this. This appeals to us, and so we chase after it. Of course, only until the next big thing comes along. We've all been there. I hate to say it like this, but here's the picture the Lord gave me. We are, many times, as human beings, like a herd of cows being led to the slaughter. And we don't even think about where we are going because that's where the person in front of me is going, and I'm following them. That's where the big star on YouTube is going, and I'm following them. That's where the big football player is going, and I'm following them. That's where the big preacher's going, and I'm following him. That's where this is happening, and so I'm going there. The palm teaches us that our hearts aren't always in the right place, even when we might be doing things that are good. Proverbs 4, 5, and 9. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 4, 5, and 9. Do not forsake her, talking about wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you, talking about wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, wisdom, and she will promote you. She, wisdom, will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Why is that important? Because we don't always get wisdom. We always don't know. We always don't make decisions, spiritual decisions, based on what we know spiritually. We get shaken by the things of the world. We get shaken by the things in the news. We get shaken by the things that are happening. And we get all mixed up in this world and we don't really understand what Jesus is saying. I'll tell you why it's important, because the Bible also says this in Matthew 24, 24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. Listen, if possible, even the elect. Who are the elect? They are the sons and daughters of God. Even the elect, if possible, could be deceived. We need to be careful, church. There's a lot out there that's not in here. Do you hear what I'm saying? And if you don't know what's in here, then it sounds good. There are things that I say, there are things that you say, and we say it's biblical, and do you know what? It's not biblical. It's not in there. God helps those who help themselves. Not biblical. People think it's biblical, but the Bible doesn't say that. Okay? And there's a ton of other things that we say and quote and say it's biblical. You know why? Because we don't know what's biblical, and so we don't even know what to compare it to. We got to use wisdom. These people that we are reading about on Palm Sunday, they had a big surprise coming when this king rose from the dead, didn't they? And even then, many of them still missed it. Many of them still refused to follow him, still refused to believe that he's the Messiah. They had been deceived in their own hearts. They had been deceived by the voices around them. And they had been deceived by the word on the streets. Oh, he's your Messiah? Well, he wasn't born like a king. Oh, he's your Messiah? He died. He didn't free us from the Roman Empire. He's your Messiah? Crucify him. Crucify him. Let me tell you what I hear on the streets today. You know what? Scratch that. Because we can hear a lot on the streets. Let me tell you what I hear in the pews today in the church. The church is old-fashioned. The things the church teaches shouldn't be taught anymore because it doesn't relate to society. The church needs to change its views on these things because now this is the way we live life. The church is irrelevant to today's society because society has changed. The church needs to change. And the same things they say about the church are the same things they say about the Word of God. This is people in the pews. This isn't people on the streets. This is God-fearing people who have given their lives to Christ and sitting in churches. And we have pastors who have bought into that, that won't speak the hard things from the word, because if you speak the hard things, you can't grow your church. Well, you know what? I don't want to get to heaven and hear God say, man, Ken, you had a church of 1,000 people. Great job. I would love to hear God say, what did you do with the 50 people that I gave you? And what is the truth that you shared in their hearts? And how did that grow them up? That's what I want to hear. And so that's why I preach the tough things. And that's why I preach the word from Genesis to Revelation, because I believe that it's all true. And so we have people in the pews and people in the pulpit and people all over the church who are convinced that they can do whatever they want to do because it's a different world and things have changed. And I would say that is true. It's a different world and it has changed. But I also want you to know this has not changed. And this will not change to meet your way of life in following Christ that you think it should be. Rather, Paul says, a man looks in a mirror and realizes that there needs to be a change. Amen? And is changed by the things that he sees. For the most part of Christians, a man looks in a mirror and walks away and forgets what he has seen. But Paul said the real man of God looks in the mirror and changes. When I look in the mirror after I've worn a mask, I see that my beard is all... And so what do I have to do? I've got to get a comb and I've got to get a brush. And I get to brush hair now. This is a huge thing for me, man. It's like really cool because I haven't brushed hair in like years and years and years. And I get to do that now. So it's really cool. God's word has never changed. And God's word is still very clear on sin and rebelliousness. And woe to the Christian in the pew. Woe to the pastor in the pulpit. Woe to the evangelist on TV that will not call sin, sin, and say, if you do have sin, you are not going to heaven. Jesus is very clear on that. God has always been clear on that. And you cannot take alternate lifestyles and you cannot live the way you want to live and think, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. The Bible says that is not going to happen. And I just think the church needs to begin to line up with what the word says and get away. All this from a palm. This is crazy, right? Galatians 6, 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, whatever a woman sows, that will they reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And that is my second lesson from the palm today. Jesus is very serious about what he says. Luke 19, 46, saying to them, this is the cleaning of the house, right? Cleaning of the temple. Saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. It is written. He walks into the temple. I mean, he gets off the donkey. This is all happening simultaneously, okay? He gets off the donkey, walks into the temple, thinking that this crowd is going to follow him and worship him and bow before him. He's the son of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, but he gets it. He knows their hearts. He walks into the temple and has to turn the table of the money changers over, the table of those that are stealing from the people, because God had required different sacrifices for different sins that the people had committed. And he had allowed the poor to give of lesser of things than the rich. The rich had to bring bulls. The rich had to bring goats. The rich had to bring of their sheep. The poor could bring a bird. The poor, depending on the sacrifice. But he made ways for the poor to be able to bring their sacrifice as well, so that nobody could say, I can't come to God. These people were selling the pigeons. These people were selling the doves. These people were selling the trinkets of worship. They were selling the things of the spiritual worship of the people. They were selling them for high prices and padding their with the poor, from the poor. And Jesus walks in there, mad, righteous anger for the things of God. And says, it is written, my Father's house will be a place of worship. My Father's house will be a place of prayer. My Father's house will be a place of seriousness. This has not changed. And he throws over the money tables. And he lets all the pigeons and the doves and everything else. He just sets them all free. And he goes in there and takes a whip and scourges and the animals and sends them out. And sends them out. Why? Because he had a problem. Because it was written that my Father's house will be a place of prayer. Now, we understand supply and demand. We understand how this works in our economy. But in a place where people should have been, where a place where people should have been able to get things right with God, they could not get things right with God because somebody wanted to make money off getting right with God. And let's not just look at these people, because we have done that in the Christian realms in America. We have padded our next big building. We have done everything we could do at the hands of the poor when we should be hands out to the poor. See, this government should have no need to help the poor. When the church becomes the church, listen to me, the church, everybody, the people of God, when the people of God become the people of God that we are called to be, there won't be poor among us, because we will be feeding and taking care of people and ministering to people. But the church needs to arise. And unfortunately, we get mad at government because they're doing all of this stuff, but we're not doing what we need to do. So Jesus reminds them of the word, it is written. This is what my Father's house should be. It is written. In the wilderness, when the enemy came to tempt him, what did he say? Three times. Satan, it is written. Satan, it is written. Satan, it is written. When he was trying to teach the disciples something, or when they had a question about right or wrong, what did he always say? You know what, John? It's written. Peter? It's written. James? It's written. When he was trying to teach them something that would come, when he was trying to give them some prophecy of the future in their lives, what would he say? He would say, it is written. My brothers and sisters, it is written. Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You see, the palm teaches us that just as those people were, we have no right to be ignorant, because we have what we need. He has shown you, O man, what is good. You just changed it because you wanted to live a certain way. We just changed it because it didn't adapt to what we thought it should say. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, listen, fools despise wisdom and instruction. I've been a fool. Anybody else been a fool? Somebody tells me something, oh no, I know better. And I'm looking at a wreck in my life, right? I'm looking at a mess. I've taken something apart that's never going to go back together, right? I've messed something up so severely. Why? Because I was a fool. I didn't listen to the instruction. I didn't listen to what people were telling me. Church family, believer in Jesus Christ, those online, those in the house, do not think that there is anything that you can do to change what is written. When it is written, it is done. When it is written, it is accomplished. When it is written, it's finished. There is no new gospel. We have a new gospel of grace in the church. Well, Pastor, we have to accept that. It's the world we live in. No, we don't. The Bible says that it's wrong. Can we accept the people? Yes, we can. Can we love the people? Yes, we can. Can we reach out to those people? Yes, we can. But we don't accept the ridiculousness of what they're doing and saying. Do you hear what I'm saying? 2021 and COVID and the new sexual revolution and the protests and all the mess that we have going on in our world today does not change one thing that the Word of God says about mankind. Does not change it. There is no way. There is no new gospel. Galatians 1, 6 to 9. I marvel, listen to it, he wrote this to the church in Galatia. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach, listen to what Paul says. If me, the Apostle Paul, or an angel comes from heaven and preaches any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. If you are trying to live another gospel this morning, then think about this. Matthew 21:44. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but whomever the stone falls on, it will grind him to powder. See, John tells us that Jesus is the Word in the flesh, that the Word was born in the flesh through Jesus Christ, that he is the rock. And just like the cleansing of the temple on Palm Sunday in the account, he will overturn the tables of our lives if needs be, church. He will rock those things. He will turn them over in our lives because he wants to see something great. He wants us to live and to live by what is written and not what we think. Every time you see man in the scriptures where they fall, you're going to see a man that lives by what he thinks rather than what God said. You're going to see it every time. Is it because, Pastor, God just likes to smash us when we're doing well? No. Is it because God gets a high, kind of a rush in disciplining his children? No. In fact, it's the direct opposite. And it's the third lesson from the palm on Palm Sunday. And that lesson is Jesus loves you. That's why. Jesus loves you. If you're listening to me online for the first time and you're saying, wow, Pastor, you're bringing it to that's a heavy message. And why? Because Jesus loves you. And because Jesus loves you, guess who else loves you? I do. And I cannot stand in a pulpit and just preach goody, 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 and not tell you that if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to make it to heaven, there are things that you need to walk in. There are things that you need to do because God set this up so long ago. If we look at verses 41 to 44 of our original scriptures over there in Luke 19, we see this. The closer he gets to the city, the more Jesus is affected by what he sees. He sees the crowd thickening. He sees the money changers over in the temple yard. He sees all the Sadducees coming to him. Silence your servants. They should not be saying this on this day. You know what? If they don't say it, he says, the very rocks will cry out because you don't know who you have among you. You don't know who I am. And so he watches and he sees and he gets it. He knows they don't get it, but he gets it. He knows that they're going to be here. Most of them are going to be here in 4 days again, with a totally different mindset and totally different words coming out of their mouths. He knows that they aren't living by what's written. And yet look what happens. The Bible says he weeps over the city. He weeps over the city. This King of Kings on the back of a donkey has tears streaming down his cheeks as he sees these people laying before him palms and their coats, as he sees people, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, as he sees the Sadducees ripping him apart and ripping his disciples apart for what they're teaching and what they're saying, as he sees somebody ripping off a poor person trying to pay their alms, trying to pay their sacrifice, he looks out and tears just stream down his cheeks. The religious leaders in their pride and their arrogance, the people lost in their excitement and their sin, the moneylenders in their spirit of thievery, the disciples in their amazement, gawking at everything that's happening. He weeps over them all. And though there are no tears in heaven, church, I am sure that Jesus has wept over you and me. Because I want you to know, no matter where that was, we all fit into some category of the people that gathered together on Palm Sunday. whether we were the religious and pompous Sadducees, whether we were the disciples in total amazement, whether we were the poor that couldn't come to bring our sacrifice because we couldn't afford what was being sold, whether we were the people that felt like we had to pay him something because he was going to free us from the Roman government, not recognizing that's not what he came to do. He knows that at sometimes our life will be turned upside down. Just look at the verses here. Look what he says to them. What's he talking about? He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem that would take place. He's talking about this enemy coming in, building up siege mountains and breaking down the walls. He's talking about them tearing down the place of worship. He says, all this is going to happen to you, and you're not going to have the peace that you need when it happens because you've missed what happened today. You've missed who rode in on the donkey. You've missed what I've come to do, and you've missed it all. He knows, church, that sometimes our lives will be turned completely upside down. He knows that if we continue on the path that we are going, that we're going to wind up bruised and beaten and lost in life. He knows that the enemy is going to come against us and come against us severely. Just read those verses there and look what he says about them. But when you read those verses, see these words. If you had just known what is really taking place this day in your midst, the things that will provide your peace for you, the things that have been hidden from your eyes, the time of your visitation. What does he say? This day could have been different. This day would have been different. I'm coming as the King of Peace. I'm coming as the Prince of Peace. And when they come against you, there will be peace. I'm coming with things that you've not understood. I've taught you. I have given you word after word. I have said what is written, what is written, what is written. And you've missed it. And the disciples say, what are the parables all about? He says, for you, it's to get what I'm saying. For them, it's to hear a good story. Having ears to hear, they do not hear. Having ears to eyes to see, they do not see, he says. My brother and sister, whether you are in the house or whether you're online today, this Palm Sunday can be different. This Palm Sunday will be different. Don't worry about where you've been. Don't worry about what you've done. Jesus knows that we're a strange lot. Jesus knows that our hearts are fickle. Don't worry about not being able to understand it all. Don't wait till you can understand it all, because none of us do. I wish I could say, as a pastor who's been through Bible school, as a pastor who's been in seminary, as a pastor who's still taking courses online, as a pastor who's in this word all the time, I wish I could say, man, I just have an edge on this. I know it all. But I don't. And I never will. And that's the excitement of it. Jesus, keep it fresh. Jesus, keep it living. Just know that it is written and surrender to it. Just know that it's written and commit to following it. Just know that it's written and allow it to change your heart today and accept his love for you. And this Palm Sunday will be the day of your divine visitation. He's here today. Jesus is in your house today where you're watching because you're connected to the body of Christ today. He has spoken today. I believe you've heard his word, not my word. And he is moving today because Jesus says his word will never return void. So what I'm saying is this in closing. You can know his peace in your chaotic life, in your messed up situations and circumstances. You can know peace through the attacks of the enemy. Just turn to this King and Savior today. And don't worry about ripping down palm branches and laying them on the ground. And don't worry about taking off your cloak or your coat or your robe and putting them under him. Don't worry about that because he doesn't want those things. He wants your heart. He wants your love. He wants your surrender. He just wants you. And he will take your pain and give you joy. And he will take your weeping and he will give you laughter. This is what a simple palm branch teaches us today, from 20 verses in Luke 19 that talk about Palm Sunday and what we're celebrating this week before Easter. And it was recorded so long ago, church, so that you and I could see it and know it and believe it and respond to it. And so I ask today, will you respond? Will you respond? Will you respond to the things that Jesus is speaking today?